Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and my soon-to-be-released in January 2020, A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares a higher awareness of Universal Source and our interconnectedness to each other, all possessing the personal intuitive nature to manifest a healthy, purposeful, and happy life by simply being open to change. Today I welcome Dr. Frank Presciutti, author of Chrysalis Crisis, How Life's Ordeals Can Lead to Personal and Spiritual Transformation. Hello, Dr. Presciutti, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within today.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Frank, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and try to remember a person, a place, or event that may have shown them something of the life they might pursue as an adult. As I have come to believe, the life plan and destiny of the soul are already visible in the beginning of our journey. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, well, I can actually cite an experience that I had, or two experiences I had in 1 year, and that was when I was 6 years old, a little fellow who lived around the block from me, where I grew up in the inner city of Newark, New Jersey, I used to walk to school with him, and then after we left kindergarten, entered first grade, I was looking for him, and I found out that he died that summer, and it was very upsetting for me. And so then later on that year, my grandfather died, who I was close to and was taken care of for a year. And I think I remember being impressed by that. And I remember starting to think about death in my life at a very early age. And so that kind of led me to be influenced by some thinking that was prevalent in my family. My mom and uncles, cousins, and a few other people who were interested happened to be members of the Rosicrucians. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're a non-sectarian organization, and they speak to things like reincarnation and karma and lots of it's a mystical organization that's been around for centuries. And so that started, I think, opening me up to thinking more about, you know, some of these concepts that,
the old ancient wisdom schools, which talked about universal energy and the spirit and why we're having a physical life. And it's very interesting that you had those experiences, but I don't believe that was random. I think that was part of your destiny to awaken you at an early age. Because, you know, as a child, I had no concept of death. It, like, was not there for me. I didn't experience it around me until I was in seventh grade, and I also lost a classmate. One day I came into class, and he wasn't sitting next to me, and I thought it was strange because he was never gone, you know, never absent, and neither was I too much either. So, and I found out that he had died in an accident, but he was still there for me. And we all are intuitive, and within our soul energy, we have an awareness of our eternal life. We might not hear it from other people. We may be living with families that have no feeling for it or understanding for it, but still there's a sense of the bigger universal plan. And I had that, and I just knew somehow he was around. He wasn't gone. So much like that, that was our way for us to develop and find the work that we would do that would conquer a lot of fears of this physical realm, so we could know ourselves in many aspects as multidimensional beings. And I thank you for that story.
Sure. Well, it sounds like we were both sort of tuned into that early in life, and
yes,
certainly the big question that flies out there for all of us.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. When I went to college, I was interested in studying philosophy and literature and religion to a degree, not to be religious necessarily, but to understand. the nature of history and humanity, and how we had discovered so many concepts that didn't ring true to me in my own heart nature. So let's go on to, can you tell us of why you selected Chrysalis Crisis as the title for your book, and what is a chrysalis crisis?
Well, I'll tell you the definition first, and this is kind of what, how I, a chrysalis crisis occurs when, like, an individual is confronted with a life ordeal, and they're initially unable to heal from it and integrate the experience, but in the aftermath, the struggle to do so tends to lead them to increased growth and development in a number of what I identify as 10 key areas of human development. And I've seen this over the years with my practice, where people bring in various experiences, and I note that even this, any two people can have the same experience. They could be going through a divorce or the death of a loved one, but how they're able to heal from the experience and integrate it, usually draws on areas like learning to be open to feelings, or learning to be able to understand life in a different way, or just, cognitively, how they piece it together. All these are just three of the 10 areas I'll tell you about in a minute. But one day I was reading a story about a little girl who was, in her backyard, and became fascinated by watching a caterpillar, go through the process of metamorphosis, create its cocoon, and then when it started to try to come out of the cocoon later on, when it went through that whole process and became a butterfly, she noticed that the butterfly was having trouble separating from the cocoon, and it was flapping its wings and flapping its wings, and so she thought she'd give it a hand. And of course, as she touched the wings and the butterfly, it fell to the ground, and she was devastated. So she goes in and tells her mom about it, and her mom said, sweetheart, the butterfly needed to have that struggle, because not only did it free it from that situation and getting out of the cocoon, but it also strengthened its wings for flight. That's how the butterfly. So I like that. I thought that was a great metaphor for trying to get ourselves out of difficult situations, or our versions of meltdowns in life, whatever they may be caused by, but also the struggle to free ourselves from it usually leads to, if we use it that way, growth in key areas that maybe were requiring growth on our part. So I like
Absolutely.
that.
You know, I don't believe that anything is random and there are no accidents. Our soul is creating a series of events for us to grow, just the way that you describe the butterfly, how it needs that struggle. And what would life be if we lived only harmoniously? We have to empathically know all emotions. We don't have to stay within the negative ones, but we do have to experience them so that we can make the choices to grow. Now, Frank, can you, I've read your book very carefully, but can you
I'm glad
tell
to hear it.
us, I always do because how can I speak intelligently on what you're trying to put out into the world unless I've read it? So can you tell us a personal crisis of your own that may or may not be similar to any of the other stories you share in the book or any of the clients that you deal with? So tell us your own story.
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you some. Well, one, I did go early in my life, go through a divorce, and I remember part of the process for me in being able to heal from that experience required that I open up, to feelings that were a little bit more difficult for me to be aware of. And so I know that despite the difficulty of that, I mean, the process of grieving required being in touch with sadness, which wasn't an easy affect for me. And so that plus, maybe being more aware of fear as a feeling. So I felt like that kind of like ripped me open. It wasn't a breakdown as much as a breakthrough. It really, and I look back at that and I think, wow, it was painful and there was suffering. But, and I went through therapy and worked on it, and I realized that the tools I needed to get through the experience were things that I needed for the rest of my life anyway.
You embraced it. You didn't run from it. Yes, and that's what we need to do. But I have a story here. Was Lovey your wife?
Nope, mommy, mom. She was
Lo
my mom.
Lovey was your mom. Okay. So there is the story in the book, and it's in the 1930s, and it's the story of your mom and your dad. You want to tell us something about that? Because it's quite remarkable. about what
Yeah.
they were challenged with and how she found her way to spiritual growth through it all. So
Well, that's for sure. And the influences that helped her go further back, even to my grandfather, her father, who was, interested in the mind body. He was out of Italy in the late 1800s, the 19th century, when that whole spiritualist movement was kind of active, and people were becoming fascinated by the works of Charcot and all the different hypnotherapists, and Freud and Jung were still kind of like coming into their own. So there was an awakening that, and I remember what happened to her. It was at 20, she was very athletic and outgoing, and at 21 years old, she just suddenly came down with MS, multiple sclerosis, and a pretty serious version of it. Like, she was rendered into a wheelchair, but prior to that, they thought she had Lou Gehrig's disease and would die. But I think it was her attempt to try to understand, because she always said that it seemed to come right after the death of her best friend at the time. And so she wondered a lot about whether there was some element of, the stress or her
yes.
mind having to do with it. And so that was early thinking. And I had, that was another piece of, that was some exposure I had gotten. And then she just had a very difficult early life before I came on board. I think she got the MS about 10 years before, 13 years before I was born. I had an older sister, 2 years my senior. And so, her reaching for understanding and turning towards that she was very interested in the early writings of J.B. Rhine and Edgar Cayce and the Rosicrucian teachings, and a lot of the information around mind body stuff. So that was also another strand of influence in my life,
Well,
that
there
it
it
that
is. There
two.
it is. She dealt with a very serious health issue, and through it all, she was able to have three children. Did she have three children? Two children.
Two, but that was challenging that she did that,
Yes,
because she had two
that's what I'm.
situations before that. Yeah.
Because in she accepted life and she accepted the reality and she maintained a joyful level. And she had a support group, she had family, and I know, oh, your father's name was Frank too. He had some challenge. He wasn't inclined to follow a journey of self-discovery like your mother, who kept her journal and also began to meditate and look to understand spiritual matters. So I found that very interesting, the difference between the two of them, and yet they stayed together, huh?
Well, he was interesting in that he took care of her till the end of her life. So he had that saint and sinner thing that we're all doing, right? I
He
mean,
had
we're
a
all working with both sides of our
groundedness.
nature.
Yeah, he had a groundedness to physical life, and she had an uplifting spirit that took her to higher life that helped her deal with her challenge. But she had a good life anyhow. She didn't let it stop her. And I love to hear people who are able to deal with big challenges and do so well because they have an understanding that they're spiritual beings having a physical life and that there's much more. We are
That's right.
much, much more. And this story really shows it so well. So let's go on to, you were just talking about how the butterfly struggles to free itself from the cocoon that gives it life. And the struggle continues or contributes to its ability to survive and thrive. Now, tell us something about the 10 keys that cover a broad
Sure.
area of human functioning. You have described it very well. Tell us about that.
Well, interestingly, and this one of the other agendas I had in writing the book was, I have had the opportunity. I want to tell you a little bit about, I threw out a wide spectrum or a wide reach to get around these 10 key areas, because as much as I practice, more conventional clinical psychology, I've also been benefited by the fact that my interests in things like parapsychology and reincarnation and all that drew me to Charlottesville, where at the University of Virginia there's a program that researches mediumship and reincarnation and near-death experiences and parapsychological phenomena. So over the years that I've been here for nearly 40 years, there have been numbers of people who will have these anomalous, exceptional experiences and will contact them. And they do research, they don't do therapy. So once I made connection with them many years ago, they have referred individuals like these to me over the years. So there's always been a number of people in my practice, not the majority, but there's been enough where I might have any number of two or three people who are intuitives or who have had experiences, spiritual emergencies, they call them. And I thought, how can I get my arms around both the more what we would call normal kinds of crises that bring people into therapy and what might be deemed super normal, the kinds of experiences where somebody might have maybe a near-death experience, or they may have a premonition and it might scare them that they knew something before it happened, and they don't have the good fortune to have the understanding. So I tried to spread those 10 key areas out into what I call the more foundational areas of development, and in that it's more like crises that may be, caused that are predominantly in the physical area of life, or crises that maybe challenge us in our intellect as far as changing our thinking, crises like I had or others, many have. And by the way, these are all interdependent. Not all of them are brought forth in a one given crisis in life, but many of them are brought forth, together. There's the other area in the foundational area called moral crises, where people get in trouble with the law or they do things wrong. And then social crises, where people have difficulty, maybe have anxiety disorders or social anxiety. And then I move on to three others. Those are the first five. The other three I see as more personal areas of development. And these could be identity, crises of identity, issues of changing identity, crises of intimacy. And by that, I mean the inability to be able to relate to others on a more intimate level. And many times, they just haven't stretched in that way. And oftentimes therapy itself can be threatening because you have to open up and do that. And then you have other kind of crises in that area called, I call it existential. And that might be typical of a midlife crisis or somebody who's coming to terms with the big existential issues in life, meaning, purpose in life, death. These are the existential crises. So that other area that I first alluded to earlier, where people have spiritual emergencies or they have these kinds of paranormal experiences, I put them in the transpersonal area of development. And I split those out into two areas. One I identify as intuition. And by that, I include anything that has maybe different ways the mind might work. Like I've had people be frightened because they had a dream about something that happened. Or they might have a precognition or clairvoyance or a telesomatic reaction. I have a friend whose father was dying on the West Coast. He starts choking on the East Coast and finds out that this one he was choking, his father was dying, choking on some food, and so, these kinds of
You
experiences, if
know,
you're not tuned
yes.
into this stuff like we are, they
Yes.
scare people. They start
Yes.
wondering if they're losing their mind.
Yes. Yes, they do. When it's happening to all of us. Everyone has this capacity to feel another person's energy because we are all connected by energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. Energy can travel anywhere, just like a computer and the television waves. You look at a
Sure.
box and it's the same concept. So it is happening to people, but I don't know why when I was born very sensitive, but it wasn't until 25 years ago that I started to have many mystical experiences. And I said, wait a minute, I'm a very smart girl here. I mean, this
What's
is not
going
hap right.
on?
This is not happening randomly. And then I met people along the way. I had dreams and I met people and I was told certain things. It was like they were guiding me to fulfill my mission or life destiny, which was to do this radio show, to become an intuitive healer and medium and help lots of people. And I was told I had to write three books. I wasn't even
Really?
intending to write one. And I said, okay, Spirit God,
Homework.
the divine universal source, if I now that I know consciousness survives physical death and we are really so much more than I thought we were, and I was able to conquer lots of fears, basically the fear of death, which most people have. To
That's
some
big, yeah.
level or another, I said, well, I'm going to carry this football across the field to the goal and go as far as I can because I dedicated myself to the work. So
Good. Well, good for you.
it was a choice, but it was also a calling like yours. And it's
Yeah,
very, I
thank
think it's
you.
very wonderful that you have merged the allopathic and the spiritual concepts of helping people know more about who they are, because that's the only way you can heal on a mind, body, spirit level, You cannot just do it by the
Yeah.
talking. You have to become more aware of what you are within your energy and yourself. And now,
And have experiences.
and
Yeah, I
have
agree.
experiences and allow yourself to open. And when you're fearful, have someone to talk to who can help you see that this is very natural. There's really no abnormal and normal. There's really just
That's right.
life and consciousness and connection to the force that we come from and return to. But you say consciousness is the foundation of all that exists. And you wrote in a quote from Carl Jung, who I simply adore, and I always love to talk about him when it comes up in any of the shows. He was a Swiss psychiatrist, more of a spiritualist, and he said, the greatest burden a child must bear is the unlived life of the parent. And I find that he was so sensitive, and he didn't believe exactly as Freud did that all psychological problems were the cause of physical and emotional distress, and that talking about it would help manage it. But he would, because a lot of it was due to sexual tension or childhood trauma, he actually believed that it was in becoming safe within your own body, grounding your energy, not living in the past or the problems, but creating things in the present moment anew. So he was a spiritualist, and he even had a near-death experience, which
That's right.
he described the afterlife as too miraculous to even describe. So I think he was like your mother. I think
Oh, he was brilliant.
he
Yeah.
found
He
the miss.
had his own experiences.
Yes, he found the, so did your mother. So he found the mystical and spiritual aspects to be illuminating, calming, not to be feared, and offered a positive reason why we can deal with illness and loss and suffering, and how transitory this physical world is, but not the world of energy and spirit. And Frank, you write this. Carl Jung suggests that these unresolved unconscious feelings are like emotional anchors that hold such dynamics in place. Even if you have an intellectual understanding as to what caused the initial establishment of a given dynamic, if all the accompanying feelings associated to this dynamic are not uncovered, appropriately experienced or diffused, it's like trying to row a boat out of troubled waters while remaining anchored to the dock. I just love that because that's
Well, yeah, I think
exactly what we're trying to do on this show
for
in one
sure.
way or another.
Yep.
Now, you also tell the story of Bob. Can you tell us the story of Bob, who had a troubled marriage, finances, health, and his
Oh
relationship
yeah, that
with?
was one of the that was the first story in the book, and he was my example
I.
of more the way in which we can have crises in a
Yes.
physical dimension, you know, more about have, you know. And the other thing I want to say is that ultimately towards the end, what I do is I hit on all these 12, 10 areas rather, but then I look at them at a, what I call a higher octave, because not only do they need to be cultivated and developed for just functioning here in the world of, you know, the physical manifestation, but they also can be, but if, for instance, Bob had to learn to gain mastery over things basically like his physical body and his finances and taking care of shelter and all those basic needs. And yet, interestingly, when you look at what opens us, what enables us to open to some of these higher experiences, and you look at some of the research that's been done, it's almost the need to master that physical area so we can quiet it and not be disproportionately preoccupied with it. The same with emotions. If you've got unresolved feelings about issues that you haven't examined or you haven't fully diffused, they can come creeping in. And when you're trying to be still and open to the subtleties of intuition and spirit, they can undermine that ability. So the first run through all these different areas is to look at how they function in terms of our day-to-day workings in this realm here. But if you want to try to use them for having higher spiritual experiences, they can be used in another way, but they need to be mastered first at that first level. So Bob had that experience with his physical body. He didn't look to do more than deal with that, but I used his example as somebody who wasn't taking care of himself, dealing with stress, not eating right, not managing money, and all that stress ultimately led to him to have a heart attack.
Yeah,
So it stayed pretty
we
much
are,
within that realm there.
Yes, we all are. My dad used to say this to me when I was a little girl, and I never understood it. We are our worst enemy. It is fear. Fear of taking a chance of risk, of seeing ourselves, of accepting ourselves sometimes as not perfect, because nobody is, that hold us back from integrating both our spiritual and our physical duality. So yes, I like that story also. What do you hope people will gain from having read your book?
Well, I feel the first half of the book has kind of a conventional self-help element to it, and I wanted to try to get people to say, okay, all these other areas are basic and they're necessary, and yet I wanted to kind of be a little bit of a Pied Piper, because I wanted to build a relationship with my reader in the first half of the book, where maybe they'd have a sense of trust with me as the author, that they will walk over that bridge to look at the validity of intuitive and spiritual experiences and see them all as part of the same spectrum of consciousness. That they're just their capacities of consciousness, our physicality, our ability to experience, like our body, our consciousness outside our body, like a near-death experience or an OBE, an out-of-body experience, or, toiling around with issues of existential. Resolving existential issues like how we understand death or meaning and purpose. So my idea was to try to move from the more tangible, familiar areas to the less embraced and sometimes often just neglected or just disbelieved. But I wanted to just open people up to that whole continuum and see it all as aspects of consciousness, and then talk about as consciousness is under, through, and is all around us. It's top down.
That's
So that
it.
would be my goal.
And the energy of universal source or God or the divine or whatever we choose to call it exists all around us and within us, and we within it.
Exactly.
So that is consciousness. It's wonderful how you just described that. So I want to thank you, Dr. Frank Pasciutti, author of Chrysalis Crisis, for sharing through the stories of those in the book the way to access the 10 key areas of growth, to awaken our potential, to know both our physical and energetic assets as we continue our spiritual evolution, and also create our best version of ourselves here in the physical world. To purchase this book, you may go to your website, Dr. Frank Pasciutti, that's PASCIUTI.com or Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, I think listeners have come to realize that by setting intentions and giving attention to personal and spiritual growth through the challenging times or events of our lives, we can acquire skills and tools that aid this walk towards understanding who we are and how to accept life, ourself, and others, so we can manifest the best quality of health, positivity, and happiness in this lifetime. Frank, you wrote, "It's important to be aware you are always in contact with God. Though you may not consciously realize it, the connection can be directly accessed through your mind. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you, but in order to access that kingdom, you need to awaken its higher, subtle, and transpersonal nature." Frank and I would have you remember, as spiritual beings having a physical life, a chrysalis crisis or curiosity, and the joy of life offers us the opportunity to find the truth of our universal connection, both to spirit, each other, and eternal life, if we simply allow and accept while surrendering to change and conquering judgment and negativity, so we may reside in our true divine nature of love and compassion. I am Cheryl Glick, host of
Wonderful.
Healing. Thank you. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to metaphysicians, visionaries, change makers, spiritualists, medical practitioners, psychologists, scientists, revolutionary thinkers, artists, musicians, and everybody in daily life. Explore the universal world of energy to create techniques for living more empowered lives. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.